Cameron Hogg is a psychologist at Wits Hospice in Johannesburg. He tells of a young woman whose greatest wish was for her father to give her away in marriage. But the man was dying of cancer and had only hours to live. Frantically, Hogg tracked his patient's daughter's fiancé down and summoned him and a priest to the hospice. The wedding ceremony happened next to the patient's bed.
And when we asked, and her dad was lying there in a coma almost, who giveth this woman to be married to this man? And her dad sat up, took his oxygen off and said, I do. Put his oxygen back on, leant back, we finished the service, and he died. And there was all this emotion, this joy of being married, the tears of the father. Just an incredible, incredible emotional, spiritual experience of the things in life that are really important.
At West Gauteng Hospice, palliative care nurse Rion Venter says many patients, knowing they're about to die, unload their life's secrets.
A 92-year-old person starts talking about their wonderful sex life or a wonderful affair that they had. Nobody in the family wants to hear about that, but they want to talk about it, so we can talk about it.
He maintains his work with terminally ill people has taught him that everything that happens to human beings is normal, because it's real.
As people hide from the reality of death, they hide from the reality of other perfectly normal human functions, because society or certain cultures I've put a blanket over it. Now, we don't mind the blanket falling off, and whatever we find there, we cope with.
And Fenter says impending death sometimes frees and inspires people.
We had one person, he was a commercial artist, and he painted at a rate, unbelievably, until he literally couldn't pick up a paintbrush anymore.
Hospice nurse Patience Mashetu says some people speak about what they did on their so-called bucket lists after they found out they'd soon be dead.
They tell us that I went bungee jumping. This one would tell us I went skydiving. I went out and I started eating all sorts of food. I wasn't eating all that kind of food, but now I just eat anything. Because I was watching my weight, now there's no need to watch my weight. I might as well eat and enjoy.
Fenter has often witnessed how approaching death heals relationships.
You find weird things happening. Divorced spouses take in the person they've been divorced from for many years. They start looking after them and caring. A son or a daughter who's been out of the family for years suddenly reemerges and starts taking part again.
So he adds that he's often shocked and saddened when patients from respected families reveal terrible events in their lives.
The disregard, the cruelty that you find in an environment where you really wouldn't expect it, intellectual, religious environment, where in fact a lot of intense abuse has taken place over many years, but the person has always hidden it because it was improper to talk about it or even to admit that it was there.
Hogg says horrible things happen to some patients while they're dying at home. Some have been victims of brutal crimes.
You know, it's mind-blowing to think that intruders would come into a house and tie up a patient with their own oxygen cable and lock them in a cold bathroom on the floor and ransack the house. There are horrible experiences where patients are raped at home because they are not able to move.
Fenter has seen many people on their deathbeds because they've been stabbed, shot, or bludgeoned.
A person who dies as a direct result of very cruel actions by another human being intentionally, I still have to speak to myself silently about that to cope with it. It's never changed.
He describes a patient dying of multiple untreated infectious diseases who revealed to him that she'd been a sex slave to scores of minors at their hostel.
She started that as a small child, and I think she was in her early 20s. She didn't even have her own clothes. When we gave her clothes, she actually said, am I allowed to keep this? And sister worked with her for a long time. Eventually, she went back to that life because she wanted to. She went back to it.
Fenter says these are the kinds of mysteries that palliative caregivers have to deal with just about every day of their lives. Mysteries that haunt them. Mysteries they'll never solve. I'm Darren Taylor for VOA News in Johannesburg.